Welcome to MRII's Insights and Innovators podcast, where we talk to top market research professionals to get their inside stories about innovative and enduring best practices. Today's episode is sponsored by L&E Research. L&E is the expert in qualitative research recruitment with nationwide recruiting, advanced technology, and industry-leading client service to unlock powerful business insights. That's why L&E Research is 99% client recommended. Now, here's your host for today's episode.
Welcome to today's episode, Cracking the Code of Modern Media, New Rules, New Tools, and the Insights That Matter Most. I'm your host, John Last, former president of Market Research Institute International. And today, we're exploring a world that's been completely upended, media and advertising. And few people are better equipped to guide us through this than our guest, Helen Katz, Executive Vice President of Research at Publicis Media. Helen is a trusted expert in analytics, data quality, and media measurement. She co-leads the global data intelligence practice at Publicis, overseeing key data partnerships, and has authored a popular textbook, The Media Handbook, including the 9th edition of which was released in 2025. In this episode, we'll talk about how media is being redefined, how her team makes sense of an overwhelming measurement landscape, what skills today's practitioners need to thrive, and what's coming next. Helen, welcome to Insights and Innovators.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you. And you know, you've had a front row seat to the transformation of media and advertising industries over recent years. It's hard to believe it's been 16 since I've been out of the day-to-day of the media world. What do you see as the most profound changes over the last 5 years?
Well, it's a big question. I think one of the biggest change, I mean, there've been a lot of changes, but one of the biggest we've seen is the rise of identity solutions to allow advertisers to reach the people that they really want to speak to and do so more effectively. I think Publicis, my company's acquisition of Epsilon a few years ago, and more recently our purchases of both Retargetly and Lotame was designed to address this need. So once you have that, you can connect identity to consumers, and then you add to that the greater use of first-party data like loyalty programs or memberships or subscriptions, then we're able to really target much more effectively and reach our prospective customers.
And with the rise of those new platforms and formats, as well as different audience behaviors, how have we redefined media itself? It's kind of evolved. What does that mean for planning and buying today?
It's evolved quite a lot. You know, back when I started in the business 100 years ago, we were mostly talking about traditional television or radio or magazines and newspapers. Today, we're looking at a much broader array to choose from, whether it's traditional or digital forms of paid media, ad-supported streaming, digital audio, digital out-of-home, along with lots of the channels that brands now own, whether that's content they create, sponsorships, influencers, and then all the shared and earned opportunities through social media or public relations. So we have a pretty broad palette for planners and buyers that they need to understand and utilize. And really, it's honestly one of the things that keeps my job super interesting because there's always more to learn about.
Yeah, it's such a fragmented landscape out there relative to again, even 5 years ago. And you think about it with measurement really across that fragmentation and so many different entities offering tools and dashboards and data, it's got to be pretty difficult or challenging for your team to make sense of it all. What do you do?
We try hard. I will note that there's a critical distinction that we like to make between measurement and currency. So we try across my team to evaluate and stay on top of the measurement landscape to the best of our ability, whether that's conducting evaluations of providers in a particular category, like creative effectiveness or attribution. And then my team is global, so we work along, it's not just us doing all the work, but we work closely with our community of research and analytic practitioners. And there are 10,000 of them across Publicis Group to help us. And in that way, we're trying to stay on top of the fragmentation of the measurement landscape.
Yeah, quite a lot out there. And with so many different players claiming to measure performance, I'm curious, how do you determine which providers are trustworthy? Which ones just add noise? Why are there red flags? I mean, as well as green lights. I can't help but think about it in our practice. You know, we feel that we're very good at measuring efficacy of sports sponsorships, which is something that, you know, never really was a big science until a few years ago. How do you kind of work through the morass of those out there that claim to have solved it?
It's a challenge. And the good news, I think, is that we don't have to evaluate every company that comes along and says that it can measure performance or increase outcomes. Some of it's happening, honestly, at the brand level or the agency level. They're testing out different providers too. And indeed, you know, that's really one of the best ways to assess a company is to test them. Can they really do what they say? How transparent are they with their methodology? And that's honestly an important differentiator for finding the ones that we will trust. And then there's, you know, things that annoy me personally, which is if a company provides example findings and somehow magically they're all above average or over the benchmark of 100, I start to get a little suspicious on that.
Yeah, as opposed to back in my days when it seemed like everyone was below the average threshold, and it drove us crazy from a media property standpoint. You know, something that we've been talking about in the media space for so long is the whole riddle of cross-platform management and measurement. Are we any closer to solving that, or is that still something that is really challenging to navigate?
It's definitely a process and it's still going on. And like you said, we've been trying to solve this for a long time. We have made progress now. There are companies out there offering alternatives to Nielsen for cross-platform measurement and for currency, like a Comscore or iSpot or VideoAmp, that are really able to provide insights into linear TV and streaming video. And then there are fascinating new initiatives like Project Aquila, which is coming out of the Association of National Advertisers or ANA. And that's taking a very different innovative approach to measurement, looking at campaign delivery across media, digital video, and linear TV. And then there are numerous companies that are looking at what happens after exposure to across platforms, whether that's linking attention to sales or looking at search behaviors or brand looking at conducting brand lift studies. So we invest a lot of time in testing these numerous alternatives on behalf of and together with our clients. And then we end up providing recommendations and POVs on the many options out there. It's not a very much not a one size fits all at this point.
Yeah, it's I guess it's healthy for the industry to some extent, given, you know, just so much legacy currency that I always often kind of bristled at to think that it was being accepted as gospel. And it goes back to another topic that always kind of irked me when I was on the media side itself, and that's the whole aspect and state of engagement metrics. You know, lots of people obviously suggesting that they've solved that as well, but you know, even more basically, the emphasis that continues to be placed, it seems, by some on reach and on, you know, GRPs by extension, without really understanding the quality of those eyeballs. I continue to aggressively advocate that engagement, elusive engagement measurement tactic. How do you solve for that? I'd love to get your perspective on it.
Again, I think I mean, you bring up a good point. Engagement can be defined many different ways and therefore measured in many different ways. In some people think, you know, time spent is a measure of engagement. Others will say it's eyes on screen or biometric measurement or looking at eyeballs and capturing, you know, direct attention to the ad or to the content. Again, it's, I think, not so much the eye in the eye of the beholder, but we have to look at it. We have to tailor our engagement measurement to the specific challenge at hand, because again, like I said earlier, it's just not a one size fits all.
Yeah, no, it's something that again, I think is an interesting puzzle to continue to solve. I often sometimes try to define it when we have custom engagements as understanding alignment with what the creative brief is even trying to convey. And I know that's tougher in certain environments than others, but another conversation for another time, probably. And you know, you've had an interesting vantage point, obviously, both from the agency side as well as the academic side. As we think about a lot of the people who listen to this series, they're looking to really upskill themselves. And what in your mind are those critical skills that you think research and media professionals need to have to stay ahead in today's world?
I would actually say, and maybe it reflects that I've been in the business a long time, the critical skills are probably not that different today from what they were 10 or 20 years ago. And I kind of bucket them into three areas that are need, you know, that a person needs to hone to stay ahead. And the first one is curiosity. as we've said, it's an ever-evolving space. And if you get bored with it, or you no longer care about how and why people use all the different forms of media available to them today, you're probably not, you probably shouldn't still be in this business. So that's number one. Number two is passion. Again, it's very easy, I think, to start to feel cynical that there's no simple answers or solutions. There's no easy button. But to me, the reality is because it's not that simple, you have to be passionate about wanting to help solve the problems and help our brands, our clients, reach consumers through media. And then the third one, again, maybe a little old-fashioned, I would say the third critical skill is an understanding of the fundamentals. And I think it's important for researchers and media professionals to understand some of those basics in media. Things like, what does reach really mean? And, you know, are we talking, it's unduplicated audience, right? Or that something as basic as reach times frequency equals gross rating points or impressions. And that often gets lost in the sort of the, not the chaos, but the morass of information and data that we're faced with. We sometimes skip over those fundamentals that I think are still true today in terms of understanding how our ads can influence people's buying decisions.
Yeah, and that's what the Media Handbook has always been about. I still remember some of the earlier editions of
Yep,
that.
I still cover the fundamentals, yes.
That's good to see for those of us who are veterans in this space. Again, thinking about that next generation of media professionals, we can't ignore the elephant in the room, which is just this whole fascination and emphasis on automation and AI and constant disruption. How do people need to kind of be prepared for that?
I mean, there are huge benefits from automation and AI, and especially from an efficiency standpoint. You know, using AI to look across and over and inside consumer trends within seconds or minutes rather than hours or days, that's hugely helpful. You know, my team is using AI to help write software code to analyze vast amounts of data, and it can really help to streamline processes and make sure there's greater consistency in them so that even if the results are different, the approach to get there is valid and reliable. I've actually heard, and I didn't make this up, AI is described, or the introduction of AI is described as being similar to when Excel was first introduced way back when. You know, it is a tool, and it's an enabling tool so that our planners and buyers can focus more on the insights and implications rather than investing hundreds or thousands of hours looking at rows in a spreadsheet.
Yeah, no, it's something that obviously we can't move a foot in this space without hearing about. So kind of sorting
Right.
through it and giving it perspective is really critical. To talk about, if you will, the obvious evolution as well from the client provider perspective. How has the role of research and insight shifted in those areas? Are you being asked to do things differently or in different emphasis?
I think I would say that clients are just as actively engaged in research as we are. They're certainly as interested, and they want our help to help them, like I said, deliver their messages to their customers or their prospects. And many of them, I feel fortunate actually at Publicis, because many of our clients will lean in to test new approaches or vendors, either individually or test through tests that we set up, like pilot tests that we set up across clients. So I don't know that there's been a huge shift, but there's been an evolution of the questions asked as our knowledge bank grows. I mean, we still get asked some of the same questions like, when will my ad wear out? Or what's the optimal number of impressions I need for my campaign? But we also get more nuanced interest and questioning in terms of, you know, how do I mid-flight, mid-campaign optimizations or understanding the frequency patterns over the course of a long campaign. And that, again, always makes it more interesting. So I think, again, I think generally clients are as interested as we are in this whole research area.
It's funny you talk about wear out. It reminds me of one of my favorite, and maybe one of the only jokes I've ever heard about media research, and that was the one about The brand manager that went and complained to their agency that their campaign was wearing out. They were concerned of that, and the agency had to subtly remind them that it's still in test. They're just so involved with it.
That's a good one.
It's an old one, I think, too.
Yes.
Again, given where we are and given what you've seen and been a part of over such an impressive career, if there was one thing that you could change or fix in the ecosystem of media and advertising measurement and research right now, what would it be?
I think it's a great question. I think it really would be to change the assumption that we have a single answer to every question. I mean, in some ways, it's like I wish we did, but at the same time, I'm glad we don't, because there are many questions and they can be answered in many different ways. And we, even with the use of AI, we don't just have the immediate perfect answer by typing it into ChatGPT. It's, you have to think about it more carefully, more thoughtfully, to continue to make progress to get to the answers.
And I guess it's good in some ways that there isn't a singular answer, because that keeps everybody on their toes to think out of the box.
Exactly. Yes.
So last question, as we're kind of right up on the end of our time here, and you think about the future, what are you most excited about?
I am always excited about the next generation. So in this, right now we're spending a lot of time and have a lot of curiosity about the Gen Alpha generation and how they are consuming media in terms of, which media, when, where, why, how, and how is it different than previous generations. And to me, it's just, I find it endlessly fascinating. When my kids were younger, they were like my petri dish for the next generation, and now they're beyond Gen Alpha. But I see it again, with younger consumers, and it's always never it never ceases to amaze me how different generations respond or act in terms of their media consumption.
Just across everything. It's something that we grapple with all the time, and talking about sports fandom and equipment usage. And in some ways, the patterns repeat themselves, but in other ways, there's all kinds of
Exactly.
fresh wrinkles to it.
Yes.
It's been great having you on the podcast. So much to learn. We could probably go on for another 45 minutes, but we like to keep these tight. So thank you again, Helen Katz from Publicis. Thanks for being a part of Insights and Innovators.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining the Insights and Innovators podcast from Market Research Institute International. Click subscribe to never miss an episode and visit us at mrii.org for more market research insights.